Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Truth is our bitch here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're here till, we're here Monday through Friday, as I mentioned, till 1 or 4, depending upon your time zone. We've got a press release out tomorrow. And a lot of you have asked, well, if you're not going anywhere, Phil, what's the big announcement? Just a couple of things. That's all. Just a couple of things. And the press release will be out tomorrow. We will post it on our website. It will be in the radio trades. It will be on Facebook, on our Facebook page. It will be on linked on Twitter. There's nothing really heavy there. It's just to let our listeners and people who have supported our show for these many years, let you know what's up and where we're headed and how it's all going to work and what's, you know, how, who, what, when, and where. To that end, it will have answers to specific questions. And then tomorrow night on the pre-show, which is our video cast on Phil TV and HD, which is on philhenryshow.com, and you can get it if you have a backstage pass.
All right, Phil, you've emphasized it enough.
I just like to do the emphasis thing. That's called dead air, though. No, it's called emphasis.
But I think Bud's right. It is dead air.
It is dead air, Miss Henry.
Is that right? Is that dead air? What's dead air?
You know what dead air is. Dead air is when the dead.
The dead... No, I'll do it, Bud. Dead air is when it... The air is dead. Yes.
Yeah.
When the air is dead, huh?
Don't get all Mr. Broadcaster with us. We know.
Yeah, dead air.
It's when there's nobody making any sound. There's no sound. That's dead air.
Yes, but there is a lingering death. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. When there's dead air, wouldn't you agree there is a death? Well.
No, I would not agree there's a death.
Not literally, but there's almost as if the dead, it's dead.
There is a stuffiness, a dead...
Almost like a dead... I don't want to say stench.
Because I knew that's where you guys were headed. You want to say that the air starts to stink, right?
Well, how else are we going to get you to get moving?
The air doesn't begin stinking. There's no smell of death. It's just dead air because there's no audio. All right. So, duly noted. However, I'm not of the school of thought that dead air is necessarily a bad thing. I think dead air is actually a tune in, not a tune out. A lot of people think if there's dead air, people tune out. I think nothing gets people listening more carefully, more closely. Nothing gets them to turn the audio up, turn the volume up, than if there's dead air. Because, wait a minute, what happened? And they leave and they come back, still dead air. And then they leave and they come back.
That is kind of true. One time it wasn't dead air, but there was a dead, not a monkey, but a dead, yeah, I think it was.
No, lemur.
There's a dead lemur in a road in Africa that they kept coming back to. I've seen it on YouTube.
Well, what does that got to do with air?
Well,
it was a dead lemur.
Yeah, it was a roadkill.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's got nothing to do with what he's talking about, you asses and a half. You two guys are not just two asses. You're two asses plus one half an ass apiece.
That makes three asses.
Yes. Very good.
One half an ass.
Oh, Phil, don't play it back.
All right. So in any event... Dead air is dead air. So welcome to the show. So we will have for you tomorrow night, just prior to our broadcast, we will break down what's up and what's down and what's going all around with regard to our show. But tomorrow is the big press release, and there's a lot of answers that are going to be provided. As much as I'd like to tell you what those are now, I think it would be better to leave it to the good work of Amir Forrester and others working on it. And it's all good news. It's all good news, and it's all very exciting news. So anyway, welcome here, the world famous Phil Henry Show. Over the weekend, we went and we had the big yucca party.
Yes. So how was it? We saw the pictures, and can I say something? You didn't look good, Phil. I know you always think that I'm bagging on you.
No, you're right. I didn't look good.
Yeah, you like very pasty.
You didn't look good. You were there with Sandra Ashwood. She's a lovely girl. She is lovely.
Yeah, she's pretty hot, too.
She's a very pretty girl. She's a young Puerto Rican lass and a nice lady. And Sandra was with me. And I was very happy to bring her with me to this family event because I've known everybody there all of my life. I've known Joe and Katie since they were born. I've known Don. He's been my best friend since we were 12. The first time I saw Don, I probably shouldn't say this, but I think I will. He's very sensitive as to what the kids find out about him, you know.
Well, I would be too. If what are you going to say?
It's the first time I saw him.
Well, I bet if he were wearing a lady or something.
If he's dressed as a lady or anything.
No, he wasn't dressed as a lady.
Well, that's what we're talking about. So it's not embarrassing.
No, but he doesn't like any of these hoodlum stories that some of us, you know, got into. It's not bad, Don, I don't think. In fact, I told it. I said the first time I saw this guy became my best friend in life. He was 12 years old, riding his sister's bike, smoking a Tarrington cigarette. 12. With this freckled face and in his bare feet.
He was smoking a cigarette at 12.
Yes.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Arcadia, California. It was these were not families. We were all sort of in the midst of, these were economically depressed families, shall we say. Not the richest kids in the yard, but there were rich kids that were hanging with us. But in any event, he and I became very fast friends because we just shared a similar background, and we grew up. It's a pretty crazy thing to know a guy from the time he's riding his sister's bike smoking a Tarrington.
To the time that he's still riding his sister's bike smoking a Cuban cigar.
That wasn't funny.
Well.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. To the time he's still riding his sister's bike.
Yeah, I'm still riding his sister's bike, and the guy's like 60?
No, he's not still riding his sister's bike. But it's a whack thing to know the guy from that period all the way through, you name it, man, everything. And to this point where I saw his kids be born, and I saw Don through every kind of eventuality. And I remember when he met his wife. I remember when we went up fishing at Big Bear Lake. The weekend that he met his wife, he went with the Swede and me up to a Big Bear to go fishing. And that's all he could talk about was this chick that he met at the track.
At the track? So let me get this straight. He's smoking cigarettes at 12. He meets his wife at the track.
What's wrong with that?
Well, it's sort of in a lowbrow.
Yeah.
Oh, well, get a load of who's talking lowbrow.
Get a lead?
Get a load. What do you mean lowbrow?
Well, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm sure she's a fine lady, but they've got to quit slumming.
Who's slumming?
You've got a friend here, Phil, that was smoking chain-smoking Pall Malls at 12. And
he wasn't chain-smoking Pall Malls at 12. He was smoking at 12. And he met his wife at the Santa Anita Racetrack. It's a very nice place. If you grow up in Arcadia, that's the place you go. That's where you go. That's where the laughs are. The races. Horse racing. So...
Well, I just... He met her at the track. Good God.
He met her at the track, yeah. And you know what it was? It was a race day they were having. The two of them worked for Bank of America, and the employees organized the day where everybody would go out to the races, which is a lot of fun. And Santa Anita has a thing called Clocker's Corner, where you can rent the whole section, all the seats, and employees go out there, and they, you know, people of different companies go out there, and they get together as friends and hang, and they bet, and they have drinks, and it's a blast for everybody. So that's where we met her, and so I remember when that went down. Then I remember they got married. Then I remember when the kids were born, and on and on and on, man. And so yesterday was the graduation party for them, Joe and Katie, and I couldn't believe it. Joe's like a recording engineer now. Katie's going to go off and become an astrophysicist. I don't know what the hell she's going to do. And everybody was there from the family, and it's like this big tribe. So I busted out the yucca.
Yes, now I want to know about this yucca. Now, I know you have Bobby Dooley, and she's going to complain about the Miss Bobby, if you're listening, you know, give it up, will you?
Never mind that, okay?
Well, you're going to talk about the yucca.
Yeah, well, we made yucca, which is, and I've given the recipe a half a dozen times, I think, and I gave it on Facebook. But yucca is really delicious, and it's made with tequila. I don't make it with vodka. I don't know. You know, if you want to, go ahead. But it's with tequila, lemons and limes, sugar and ice, and you put it in a big jug. And so, you know, I picked Sandra up, and we went looking. She is one of these very classy girls. She wants to bring a gift. Do you do that?
Do I bring a gift to what?
When you're invited to a party.
Oh, you always bring a gift. Now, I don't go out of the way. Sometimes I'll just buy, you know, a pen and pencil set or something like that. It's the thought that counts.
A pen and pencil set?
It's the thought that counts.
Well, She wanted to get a gift, so we stopped. And we got, I don't know, I think she got a candle or something. It's like if you go to a party, you're not supposed to come empty-handed.
Yeah, a lot of ladies are like that.
Uh-huh. So,
how do you know, bud?
Because I do, I study up on it.
Anyway, I brought the yucca, and I made it, and it was a smash hit, you know. Because Joe's friends are there. These are all guys in their 20s. They've just graduated from college. If there's one thing they like, basketball, chicks, the U.S. Open, and drinking. And you got it. So they were watching the tournament and playing hoops and doing the yucca. Bobby Dooley coming up next to talk about the Miss Utah flub last night in the Miss USA pageant. And also I want to tell you about an interview that I did with a very, very nice, articulate, and very talented writer, Alice Carbone, I believe, Margaret.
Well, again, it is Italian, so you want the French or the Italian, Alice Carbonneau or Carbonat. What does that mean? Phil, if you didn't have me, you'd be a Gloyd on the run.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. A Gloyd
Truth
on the run.
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, a lot of ladies are like that.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is online as well at philhendryshow.com. philhendryshow.com is our intergalactic internet worldwide weeb home. And you can go there with a backstage pass to our website, get the live streaming video of our show. You can listen to our podcast each and every day, listen to the archives of some 5,000 hours of audio. You can go back and check out some of our great archive shows. You can look at some of the webisodes that were produced, our animated webisodes. You can watch the Milwaukee Lion podcast. Look at our news feed. Stay in touch with the show in ways never before imagined. That's philhendryshow.com. Bobby Dooley on the line from the Western Estates Homeowners Association this evening. Bobby, how are you?
Real good, Phil. Thank you for having us on.
And you watched the Miss USA pageant.
We did, with great interest, and Steve's here, too.
Yeah, I watched that last night.
Great, and I want to ask you, Mr. Dooley, are you a big pageant watcher at that house?
He's a little nervous. Do you like to watch the pageant, Steve?
He's talking to me.
Yes, he's talking to you.
Yeah. I guess I blew it.
No, you didn't blow it. Let me ask you, Steve, when you watch the pageant, I say for guys watching beauty pageants, I don't really know. It's not all that interesting to me. I watched it as a kid because there was a competition going on. I don't know. You're watching with your wife. Are you looking just to see the beautiful girls or what?
I'll do it. We don't really approve in our home, Phil, of the men watching these pageants for reasons other than to enjoy the competition, we have sons. Our sons are all now either teenagers or they're entering their teen years. And I know, Steve, you want to give a good example, right? You don't have to be nervous. My husband's very nervous tonight, Phil, for whatever reason.
Steve, it's okay. We're like family here.
Thank you. I just don't want them to look at see a lady.
You know, Steve tells the boys before the pageant starts that you're to respect women. If you want to look at them in the bathing suits, you may. Or you may leave the room during that part of the pageant to go and wash up, to groom, or to... It's a good time to go and clean your bedroom.
So when the boys are watching these beauty pageants with you, you have them... You tell them to be... To not look at the...
It isn't really that we tell them not to look at the... I insist that my sons have respect for women. I will not have it any other way. Before I married Steve, I said, if we have sons, I won't have it, I tell you. I will not have it.
Yeah, my wife didn't want him to be. I'm kind of nervous, but...
She didn't want you raising boys to disrespect women.
Well, it was more than that, Phil. We didn't want boys that were going to be ogling women up and down, hooting and whistling. I would not have that kind of disrespect. so that when we do watch these pageants, we tell the boys, we sit them down, and we say that you're going to see a beauty pageant. There's going to be ladies who are dressed in costumes that are going to show their bodies.
Yeah, they're going to see the bodies more than they ever have before.
Yes, they're going to see more of these women than they would ever imagine.
Well, a lot of the bathing suits, though, are rather modest, don't you think?
Well, I think they are, Phil, to be kind, but I do believe that some of them, especially the way they enhance or push up the girls. Now, I've worked in the pageant business briefly when I got out of college. I only finished 2 years of college. I didn't want my father to bear the burden of the... I knew what I wanted to do.
What do you want to do?
And do you mind? And so...
All right, so you're working in the pageant business.
Yes. Would you sit down? So I was working in the pageant business.
Well, you didn't know it. What'd you do?
Hold on, Phil. Would you mind shutting the hole that passes for a mouth?
No.
Would you mind shutting the... I'm so sorry, Phil.
Look, just forget about your husband. We're on the air, so the audience can...
The audience can hear everything. So, yeah. So, where was I?
So you left school. You're working for pageants.
Yes, and I know for a fact that they enhance, they take the breasts of these gals and push them up and extend them, and they do everything they can to push the breasts up and out, up and out.
Yeah, I've never seen that, and make them pointed looking.
Yes, they do. They wear a conical kind of brassiere or a conical style top to the suit, which cones. Or turns the breast into the cone, the coning.
It's almost like the cone heads, you know?
Well, I don't find that funny.
Yeah, I know you mean it, but...
I don't find that. No, we're talking about something very serious.
No, I understand. We don't want women to be gawked at and to be pawed at.
Well, it's not so much pawed at, because if you're in a beauty pageant and anyone, any one of the judges, any of the men backstage... I don't know about Bert Parks. I don't know this man. I don't know where he's from, but he was the host of the Miss America, and I'm sure that he was very respectful. But can you imagine if the rumor got out that Bert Parks was pawing and touching, and it would be disgusting, and I would not want my sons to be that.
All right, so I think that you've done a good job in explaining to us you don't want your sons watching these pageants and eyeballing these women in a sexual way.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Last night was the Miss USA pageant.
Now, are you going to ask me about Miss USA and how she flubbed it? Because a lot of people are talking about it, Steve.
A lot of people talk about the flub up.
Yeah, are you going to ask about that?
I actually was going to ask you about the winner, Erin Brady, and how all of this distraction would make that girl or that young lady feel.
I'm glad you said young lady, Phil. I'm glad. Kudos. Bravo. Hold on. I'm sorry. I dropped. I'm glad you said young lady, because a lot of people will say, you know, they'll say girl or...
A piece of ass.
Oh, my God.
Well, Steve...
I'm sorry.
They're not going to come right out and say that, but there is there's a crudity, I suppose, to it.
Yeah, like this.
Like a piece, like a fresh piece. I've heard a lot of men say, look at that, check that out. Why don't you slice me off a piece of that? And I think it's crude and rude and lewd. And,
And I don't want my boys going, hey, check, you know, get a sniff of that.
You don't have to be that graphic. God. Excuse me for a minute, Mr. Henry.
Hello?
I do believe they disconnected.
All right, I was listening in the other room. You got to get this under control.
I know what I'm doing, Margaret, okay? I don't want the two of you interacting on the air.
You got to get it under control. She's riding him like he's a busted down steer. She's riding him like he's a big, fat, sick horse. And I think it's just wrong.
Excuse me. I'll interview her. Everything's fine. Why did she hang up?
I think she's talking to her husband. And I want to say to him, get it together, you know.
Yeah, she wants her husband to get it together. I personally don't know what he done bad, but I guess...
Well, she's obviously upset with Steve.
All right, we'll be right back with more from Bobby Dooley as we talk about last night's Miss USA pageant and the the winner, Erin Brady, and the lack of focus on her due to this so-called flub-up.
Well, the Dooleys are saying the flub-up.
That's nice. But you don't have to jump in with a thought every 5 seconds, man.
Dude, about the flub-up. You don't care about the flub-up.
It's not the flub-up. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Okay, we're back. What I wanted to say was...
Hold on.
I'm sorry. Are we on the air? Are we on
Phil
the air?
No, you're not. All right, welcome back. Bobby and Steve Dooley with us. Now, you had a problem with Steve. I'm sorry.
No, I apologize. I didn't want that to be on the air. I told my husband I just didn't like him saying using some of the descriptions.
I understand that.
Well, I understand. I might tell the story about my wife.
Go ahead.
My wife, when she was in college, now I'm nervous again.
Steve.
My wife's in college. She was peace.
Steve wants to say that when we were together in college, yes, the guys used to look at me. I think it's only natural.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Margaret, please.
Margaret Gray?
Yes.
Can you just out of the studio, Margaret?
Well, how long are you going to put up with this?
Thank you, Phil. As you know, one of the provisos of being on your program, one of the provisos, P-R-I, if anyone knows that word, proviso.
Yes, we do.
One of the provisos was that she not be in studio, so I thank you very generously for making sure she's not there. But Steve knows that when we were in college together, I was, guys looked at me. They like to look at it. And I didn't mind so much as long as I was respected. That's all I needed. And so when a guy went out with me, the first thing I'd want to know, and the first thing my father would want to know, do you respect her?
Yeah, the guys would say, yes, I do.
And the guys would say, yes, I do. And that was it. And off we'd go. Excuse me?
Nothing.
Okay, so Bobby, last night Erin Brady won the Miss America pageant. Tell me about Ms. Brady, and tell me about how you feel she was affected by the Miss Utah, as you call it, the big flub-up.
Well, we call it the big flub-up, Phil, because it will go down in Miss America lore, I believe, as flub-up 2013 or flub-up 13. Miss Utah, what are you laughing at, Steve?
I just got a funny thing, flub-up.
I know. The boys tonight, they said, Mom, are you going to say flub-up? And I said, yes. And they were giggling, so they're downstairs in the TV room. Why don't you go down with the boys, Steve?
I don't see
you. Please go down with the boys, Steve.
I want to be on the radio.
Go down with the boys, Steve.
It sounds to me like perhaps your husband, Weya, would be better off.
I think so. He's been very nervous all day. And I don't know what that's from, but Flub Up 13 could be boiled down to this. It was a big flub up and a big foul up. And Utah, and I call these gals by their last names because... In a lot of ways, we are like the men, and we're in there, we're pitching, it's a job, we got to do it, we got to get it done. To the rest of the world, we're glamorous, we got great you-know-whats, and, you know, we look great, and this and that, but at the end of the day, we're all just working class, you know, as my father would say, just working class stiffs, and so Utah gets up there, and I guess she'd come after
other one.
Steve, I said to go downstairs.
I think she came after one of the states.
Yeah, Utah came out. So Utah stands there, and they ask her a question, and she carved it. She carved it thoroughly.
What do you mean by carved it?
Yeah, what's that? Was that, she carved it up?
Yes, she carved it up. She,
put me out. That's a Phil Henryism.
Well, good for him.
It's not a Phil Henryism.
Well, we use a lot on the show.
Well, I use it a lot, too. I'm looking at a girl right now in the Hydroxycut commercial with the big fat gut, and now they've got her dancing in her little peach-colored dress. She looks good. She looks cute. She looks sexy. but I believe the dress simply hides the gut that still exists. Do you see what I mean, Phil? With a Miss USA contest, you know if the girl looks good in a bathing suit or not. And there's no peach-colored dress that's going to hide a fold of fat or a round tire of gut.
All right, so what we're talking about here is it's a great way of looking at the physical beauty of a woman. Now, what happened last night, as you say, Utah got up there and carved it. What did she do?
What she did, she was asked the question, what do you think about, I don't know what she was, it was, what, Steve, honey, come on back upstairs, please. I know she was asked,
We have a phone, we got a call we can get on the line here, if you need just, do you need just recollection assistance here, Ms. Dooley?
We need what?
Do you need help remembering?
Yeah.
All right, Lloyd, go ahead, sir. Lloyd?
Yes, sir, I'm holding on to Phil Henry.
You're holding on to Phil Henry?
Is this the lady that was that I heard on the program?
Yes.
You're on the air, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, yes, sir. The lady was asked, Miss Utah was asked the question, what do you think about equal pay?
How about sometime today?
I beg your pardon?
How about sometime today?
That's a little rude, Ms. Dooley. We don't like to talk to callers that way.
They don't address people that way on the Phil Henry Show. I've been listening to this program, and Mr. Henry himself is a gentleman.
I understand that.
And he does not address, and sometime today, huh? All right. The question was that they asked Miss Utah.
Yes.
Am I taking too long still?
You are, sir, and now I think you're doing it on purpose.
All right, there's no reason for contention here. The gentleman called up to assist you.
Don't talk my wife like that. Is this the gentleman that's the husband?
This is my husband, Steve, yeah.
Yeah. Have you talked to my wife? Yes, sir, I'm talking to your wife because she was rude to me and said sometime today. I got to figure out how to get it done. You know, buddy, when it comes to getting it done, my friend, you're looking at the all-time National Collegiate Athletic Association champion.
Well, I doubt that.
You can doubt it all you want.
Can we get back to the point, which is that Ms. Dooley needed help?
I just need to remember what the question was that Miss Utah,
it's Miss Utah is the contest.
No, it isn't. It's Miss USA.
Yes, it's Miss Utah. She was asked the following question.
How about sometime today?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I've been calling your program for years. I think you're a fine gentleman.
There's no reason, yes, Lloyd. There's no reason to be rude.
And yeah, exactly. This woman is being rude along with the husband that she's brought with her.
How many do you think I have?
Wouldn't I like to know?
That dirty fool talked my wife like that.
I tell you, there's all kinds of different ways I could go with this tonight, but you know what? I think in the name of blood pressure and the sanctity and purity of my home and the peace, of my home,
What are you, a priest?
She's a real smartass, isn't she?
My wife.
I know I'm talking about your wife. She's a real smartass.
All right, Lloyd, I'm going to ask you, what was the question?
Well, Phil, I've been trying to figure that out for the longest time.
Will you let the man ask the question? What's the question?
Thank you very much, Mr. Henry. Thank you, sir.
It's all right.
The question that was asked of Miss Utah...
Oh, God.
Okay. It's been very nice listening to your program, Mr. Henry.
Lloyd, please don't hang up.
No. This woman, if I stay on the line, I'm going to come through the phone and commit. God help me. I'll commit rape.
Oh, my God. Did I?
You got raped by what?
If she better keep her mouth shut.
All right, hold on for a minute. Now, that's an absolutely unbelievably criminal, crude, sadistic, and terrible thing to say. I will have you take that back or hang up.
I called the program.
Take back what you just said.
I take it back.
Yeah, see, Mr. Henry made you do that.
No, he didn't. No way. No man tells me what to do. I did it of my own free volition.
What?
My own free... I'm not going to give you the word because you'll only use it to try to make it sound like I'm a homosexualist.
So the question was what?
The question that was asked, Miss Utah, what do you think about equal pay for women? Oh, my God, you sound like you're going to cry. Yes, I am, in many ways. And I'll hang up and turn my radio down and listen.
Thank you very much, Lloyd. Okay, I guess he's off the line. So, Bobby, what do you think about equal pay for women?
Well, I just wanted to know what the question was.
Yeah, that old man, he's all jacked around.
I think the two of you provoked him, and you didn't need to, with the whole... That's very rude to say to somebody, sometime today. He's an elderly man. He was trying to get the question out.
I understand that, Phil, but we're burning daylight, you know?
Yeah, burning daylight. Yeah, sometime this week, huh?
Yeah, okay, great. It's like, what did you guys, just hear that one at the public pool or something?
What? We have our own pool. But I will tell you this, Phil. I just called you Frill. That's a cute name, Frill. Is your name Frill?
No, it's not. We're going to be taking a break here in a moment.
I just want to get this out, please. Miss Utah was asked, what do you think of equal pay for women? And she went, Steve does it really funny. Do it, Steve.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Miss Utah.
That is just a riot, honey.
Here comes one of the boys. Hey, Justin, what Miss Utah sound like?
My kids are all right. What do you think, Phil?
She didn't sound anything like that.
I know. We're just, it's satirization. We're doing the satire on it.
Yeah, we're doing the satire on it, Mr. Henry. You got to understand how to go. Okay.
Well, thank you very much for doing the satire on it. Hold on. Well, I think that's a family out of control, don't you?
You know what my feeling is about that woman. I think she is a grandstander. I think she's an exhibitionist. I think she is a megalomaniac out of control. You name it, she's got it. You name the disease, and you name the part of her body, and she's got it. She's got the disease relative to that part of the body.
What about an earlobe?
Would you shut up?
Get out of here, bud. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. More from Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. And we've been talking about the Miss USA, Miss USA pageant. Last night, the Miss Utah question, Marissa Powell was asked this question. She apparently spaced out on the question. It had something to do with, the equality of pay, the equality of women in the workplace and so forth. And we've had Bobby and Steve talking about this. Now, we're getting a little bit distracted, but I wanted to ask you, Bobby, about, because we did want to talk about Aaron Brady, the winner, right?
Well, we do want to talk about Aaron Brady, but I can't. And the reason for that is very clearly because the Miss USA pageant last night decided to capitalize on Utah not being conscious enough to answer a simple question.
Yeah, we blame them.
We do blame them, and I blame Utah. I blame her for not being aware of the question and answering it. And what happened was, because she was not able to answer the question, I can't hear myself on the radio. Turn it up, Steve.
No, don't turn the radio up. No.
I can't hear myself, Mr. Hendry.
You're not going to be able to hear yourself. Don't turn up the radio because it becomes a distraction. It starts to slap back.
Is that a slap?
It slaps what?
Slaps back.
Well, I don't know what he means. But I'm on the radio now.
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay, I'm listening to that slap back now.
Yeah, I'm listening to that slap back now.
Did you hear that? Did you hear?
All right, turn them down.
Turn them down.
Get that woman squared away so that we can at least find out.
That woman squared away.
Don't turn it back on, bud.
Turn it
Sorry, I just want to hear what it sounds like. It sounds neat and everything.
Yeah, it kind of sounds bitchin'.
All right, have you had your kicks? Because Mr. Henry does not want that on the air. I think he's made that very, very clear.
I think he's made that very, very clear.
I'm going to belt you right now. Stand still, bud.
You said you wouldn't.
Stand still. Here it comes. I was only kidding.
Man, you almost wet your pants.
No, I didn't.
Just, I'm telling you, next time it's for real. All right. Have you been talking to them?
No, but Robert has.
Yes, no, he's turned it down.
Ms. Dooley, you can't do that, okay?
I apologize. We were just having some kicks, you know?
Just having a couple of laughs, Mr. Henry.
That's nice. We're on the air. I've got a show I got to do, so if you don't mind. Okay, anyway, so let's get back to Erin Brady. Where's she from?
I don't know. And the reason why I don't know is that the pageant doesn't... The pageant doesn't want me to know.
The pageant doesn't want you to know?
The pageant doesn't want me to know.
Why would you say something like that?
Because of all the play they gave this Miss Utah. Every time you turn the TV on today, there she was, flubbing it up, you know?
Big flub up.
It was the big flub up. And I just read where the flub up went viral. So it stole the spotlight from Miss USA. Here, right here. I've got the article in the Daily Gluten, or the Glue. No, this is the UPA.
UPI?
Is that what that is?
Probably UPI, yeah.
How do you know, Steve?
I'd heard about it.
Oh, you don't know. You don't know. You're making that up.
It's UPI.
Mr. Henry says it's UPI. I'll go with that.
Yeah, well, that's kind of embarrassing, humiliating.
I don't care.
All right, never mind. It's UPI.
Mr. Henry, you're not speaking to a couple of your own children.
I understand. Ms. Dooley, I know that, but you're giving me the sense that I am. You're giving me the sense that I am talking to kids. So would you please move on now with, I think this is a very interesting story, Miss Utah Flub Goes Viral, Steals Spotlight from Miss USA Winner.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Miss Utah, Marissa Powell, won't be remembered as the third runner-up in the 2013 Miss USA pageant, but she'll be remembered for Flub Up 13. The Miss USA pageant, Miss Utah, gave the most cringeworthy answer in the interview portion of Sunday's
USA?
I'm sorry, Miss USA pageant. There's also Caitlin Upton's embarrassment, Phil, that we do have the audio on, and let's listen to that.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future.
That's a really good answer. That's a really good answer, and I think that is an example of what needs to be done in our country on the pageants, you see.
You thought that was a good answer?
Yeah, that was way better than what this Powell brought. Excuse me, I shouldn't have said that.
Well, it's better than Powell.
It was better than Powell.
Better than Powell? Powell wasn't near as bad as that.
Bad? Mr. Henry, I don't think you heard the young lady. Let's listen again. She was great.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map.
Right.
Why do you think this is?
Okay, listen. This is great.
I personally believe that U.S.
Americans
are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa the Iraq, everywhere like such as,
it's diarrhea.
I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S., should help South Africa, and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, we will be able to build up our future.
Build up our future. See,
thank you.
She was
much.
Talking about building up the future.
She didn't know what she was talking about. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God, your voice went, talking about? Did you hear that, Steve?
Yep, straight, your voice cracked.
So what? I'm asking you a question. Did you hear that? That girl had no... That child was talking nervously, man. She didn't even... She wasn't giving herself a chance to even answer the question. She was just babbling nervously.
She was talking about Iraq and the chances of South Africans getting maps. And everyone knows, like, for instance, South Africa, okay? Enough said.
No, not enough said. What are you talking about? In Iraq?
Yes, Iraq.
On account of America bombed it.
If we hadn't bombed it, maybe they wouldn't need maps. I don't know. I'm probably sounding stupid now.
Yeah, Ms. Dooley, yes, you are. Thank you very much, you and Mr. Dooley, for a very pleasant hour.
Oh, yeah, right. So hang up on us right now while we're twisting in the breeze. While our rear ends twist in the breeze?
I'm afraid so.
That's pretty cool.
All right, so that girl was... You know.
That wasn't bad as some people.
Get out of here. Did you hear that? That was kid. You know, I'm glad I played that because I don't think she sounded. The lady last night, Marissa Pyle, didn't sound anywhere near as bad as this girl. The lady last night sounded to me like she was tired. Like she didn't catch the question and she decided to try to answer it anyway. She should have asked them to repeat it. All right, we'll be back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com. Get that backstage pass. Watch our live streaming video as we perform it tonight.
Uh-huh. Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
I didn't know that, and so get him on the line. And I understand that there was there's some anger, and I can understand that there will be anger. Vernon Dozier on the line with us from. This is your wife, Trudy. Now, Vernon, please tell me, this is the young lady you married. She was right out of high school.
Yeah, let me just say this. Yes, and that's got nothing whatsoever to do with this. I married Trudy after her graduation from Belmar, and we've been married now for the last 8 years, and...
How old is she now?
25.
She's 25?
Yeah, and she was on this Foxworthy show, and...
Now, what's the name of this Jeff Foxworthy show?
It's a, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, something like this. I will tell you that the treatment received, and the fact that it's on the, YouTube, for my money, makes it actionable. Actionable. And that's why I've called up. I didn't want to go on the air.
Well, I had to have you come on the air because I'm not sure people are going to understand what you're talking about. Can we play the clip?
I would rather you not play the clip because I think what happened, you know.
People are going to, you want to sue for this?
I want to sue the producers for making my wife look like an ass. And I want to sue the producers for not policing the clip. I can't hear it. Is that it there?
Yeah, we got it played.
You ready?
Yeah.
The third grade world geography question is... Budapest is the capital of what European country?
This your wife?
Budapest
yeah,
is
true.
The capital of what European
very
country
pretty.
Nathan
she's...
has already locked in?
All right, they had
this might be a stupid question.
That's I'm guessing it's probably
okay.
going to be.
Like,
see, you see the laughter?
I thought now, Europe was a country.
All right, now, how many people think Europe's a country?
Let's see.
The third grader's Please. Laughing.
Yeah,
Budapest?
Because he's a dirty little punk.
I've never heard of that.
All right, here's your
She's
options.
Never heard of Budapest.
I mean, you could drop out with $10,000.
Like, I know they speak French there.
Take it easy, will you?
Don't
they speak French?
Like, I want to say, is France a country? I don't know what I'm doing.
You know what? Let's
just,
talk.
Like,
let's talk about your options.
Okay.
You see how this guy tried to make it
focus,
tried to make it better, but
I
they
am.
Kept going to
like,
the third
Like I'm listening
grader.
To what you're saying, but I only hear what I want to.
That's just called being a woman.
See, that's what I didn't
Boo!
Like. Turn it off. Can you turn it off, please?
It's off.
The options that this guy Foxworthy has is that I can sue. They can settle. They can tell me who this kid is so that we can have a discussion. I can tell you, when I saw this clip pop up...
Well, that's your wife not knowing whether Budapest is a country or in a country.
No, she said, isn't Europe a country? That's not that stupid a question, because hold on, baby, I got it. Okay? That's not that stupid a question, because there's a lot of people that say that. Is Europe a country? The second part, when she thought it was a, would she say French?
She thought they spoke French in Budapest.
So what? You know, Phil, not everybody is up on geography the way you are.
The host of the show was laughing at her. That little third grader, this is a kid that's 8 years old, okay?
Yeah, and that's what I want to talk about. I want his number, his address.
What you want to do, go meet him?
Who is that?
Dickman.
Hey, buddy, I don't want to... What do you mean, go meet him?
Well, I'll sound like you want the address and the phone number of a kid.
I don't want it to be a pervert. I want it because I want to have a talk with its parents. Is there something wrong with that?
What are you going to talk to his parents about?
What business is it of yours?
Well, then why'd you call me up?
Because my family's being harassed, that's why. Because my wife is being harassed.
How is your wife being harassed, other than the fact that this clip is on YouTube?
Because people have been calling the house today and saying, hey, Trudy, is that you on that Foxworthy, on the Foxworthy clip? And she said, yes, I was on the Foxworthy show, and they're laughing and laughing and laughing. Now, I want to tell you something. I have been in touch with an attorney, and there is a copyright infringement that's just going down. It's going down, and it's going down tonight. And
what's going on? What are you talking about? Going down tonight?
The copyright infringement.
It's going down tonight.
I'm just using that as a phrase. What I'm saying is,
what copyright infringement?
My wife on television.
She gave the rights over to the producers when she agreed to be on that show. Do you understand?
What do you mean?
When she decided to go on that show, she gave over to the producers. I'm sure she signed something, and in that says that we may use your image and your voice in however we wish as a promotional feature.
Well, that's just not... You know, they cannot use it however they wish. They cannot use it however they wish. My wife is a very... lovely young woman. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Okay, but there was a hesitation. Is that because, what, yes, but she's stupid?
No, I didn't hesitate at all, Vernon.
All right. You're telling me that someone gets to take this videotape home, and if they so desire, they can excuse me for putting it this way.
Talk about pleasure themselves?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Pleasure themselves?
Yes, they can.
Well, no, they cannot. No, they cannot. No, they will not. No, they will not. This will not stand. That's my wife.
Look, Vernon, you got an awful lot of complaints here. One of them has to do with the fact that she was basically, she looked kind of foolish on this show.
I think, no, she did not look foolish on the show. They've got a laughter sign that they blink on and off.
Hold on, that she looked foolish on the show. You don't like the fact that they had a third grader playing against her. Well, that's the name of the show. Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, I thought it was, right?
Yeah, it's called Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader.
Well, then why'd they have a third grader there? So that is further proof.
Sometimes they'll have a third grade.
Yeah, sometimes they put a third grader in there, too.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
All right, the point being that they put a kid there to show up the people. That's the second part. The other part of this whole thing about her likeness being used by the producers of the show, she got no claim on that because they'll use that likeness any which way they want. They own that clip. They own her likeness on that show. And, you know, there's no copyright infringement. As far as a guy going home with that videotape and pleasuring himself to it.
Oh, boy, you know what? I should have known better. To hell with it. To hell with you and to hell with all of you.
Is he hung up?
No.
Hey, Vernon.
I just told Henry. I was standing up for you, baby.
Vernon.
I was standing up for you. I was saying they treated you like a lump. They treated you like a sack of trash. How about some waffles? Even trade. I was on the Henry show.
Vernon.
Yeah.
Your phone isn't hung up.
Oh, you sweet. You know, you really pull some filthy tricks, Henry.
What? Wait a minute. What did I do?
phone.
You're the guy that didn't hang it up.
You're the guy that didn't hang it up.
I understand. How about them waffles, huh?
Hey, the phone's not hung up yet.
Hold on. What do you want?
The phone isn't hung up yet.
Oh, geez.
You know, and you have that man on repeatedly on this program, showing the world what a blue-ass baboon he really is.
Would you watch your language, please?
God, Mr. Henry, you go, would you watch your language, please?
Yes, that's what I said. If you wouldn't mind, blue-ass baboon. So there's Vernon Dozier and his dumb wife, Trudy, on Are You Smarter Than a Third Grader? The Internet had a good laugh at the Miss USA pageant, of course, when she was not able to answer that question. We just heard from Vernon's, you know, the trials and tribulations of Vernon's wife. But does it get any dumber than Jesse Ventura? I don't think so.
You gotta watch out, because there are a lot of people like Jesse Ventura.
Well, wait, what does that mean, I gotta watch out? What's that supposed to mean?
Well, I mean, he's a badass.
Oh, well, I'm just all frightened of that. I'm just scared to death of the fact that he's a badass. I don't care. You know, isn't there free speech? Isn't this America? I thought it was. Unless Jesse Ventura wants to change things into some kind of a meathead dictatorship where, you know, a clown like him, he's crowned emperor. Is that what you want?
No.
All right.
I mean, I just, you know.
Let me just read this. Attorneys for former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura asked a federal judge Monday to allow his defamation lawsuit against slain American sniper author Chris Kyle to go forward with Kyle's widow as the defendant. So, true to his form as one of the great ego cases in all of American history, Jesse Ventura is pushing ahead with a lawsuit against the widow of Chris Kyle because he claimed to have punched out Jesse Ventura in a bar fight. Ventura says the fight never took place. He was never punched out. He feels that his good name and his good reputation as a badass has been sullied. We'll be back with more on this when we come back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth. Is our bitch.
Hey, I should have
Phil Hendry
waffles,
Show.
Is this phone hung up?
No.
Oh, you gotta be. Get some of them waffles, put some slice of bananas up on them.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What are you looking at? You should tell people what you're looking at.
Well, actually, I'm just getting the bills here for... This is a bill for a very good company that we use. I don't want to mention the names of companies or anything, but this is a bill for the streaming of our video. And since we are the company, you know, this is we own our company. So I actually have the bill here for our video streaming.
Yes, and you were all complaining.
Yeah, you're all talking about, God, I'm getting raped. It's jail rape.
I didn't say that at all.
No, I didn't say that. But you did say, you know.
No, I'm just wondering why it's for 2 months, man. Give it to me. I want to pay, you know. Why is this 2 months? Are we still dealing with the tail end of that other deal we had? I got 2 months here, man. All HTTP. I'm going to have to ask him because I'm getting tired of this, man. I don't want to have to deal with any more of these payments. You know, pay it 1 month. You know, when I get it, pay it. I don't want to see 2 months. This is for February. This is for May or something.
I think that's part of the old deal.
See, what happened was, folks, so I can just give you a rundown on this. It's an interesting world out there of video streaming and all of the things that are available. Because when you go into business, you are dealing with vendors. And when you're dealing with vendors, you're dealing with a lot of different businesses and a lot of different ways of doing business. We started out with one particular company for our video streaming because they provided us with iOS stream. They provided us with Apple-compatible streaming for, you know, our viewers who had iPhones and iPads. We realized very, very quickly that we did not like what they had to offer and that we wanted to try a different company, and that we did, and we found that that company was much more to our liking, and so we had to get rid of the old company, and in so doing, in getting rid of the old company, we I think we were stuck with a few more bills. I'm not exactly sure. what's going on here now, bud?
I don't know.
We got problems with our video cast. All right. So in any event, we got stuck with a larger bill than we thought. So, you know, I guess you live and learn. All right. Jesse the Body Ventura.
Why do you call him Jesse the Body?
Well, that's his old, that's his wrestling name. Jesse Ventura, the body, as they say, has been very interested in suing the estate of Chris Kyle. Ventura claims that Kyle defamed him to gain notoriety for his best-selling book, American Sniper. In it, Kyle describes a 2006 bar fight in which he claims he punched someone named Scruffface, whom he later identified as Ventura. Ventura, a former Navy SEAL, pro wrestler, and host of Conspiracy Theory on True TV, claims the fight never happened. David Bradley Olson, an attorney for Ventura, said Kyle's widow, Taya Kyle, should take her husband's place because Ventura has a fundamental right to protect and repair his reputation. Olson also argued Kyle's estate will continue to profit from book sales and a recent movie deal. But Taya Kyle's attorney, John Borger, said Ventura would be better off dropping the case, and here are his reasons. Continuing this action will serve no useful purpose and likely will promote public perception of Jesse Ventura as someone who has little or no regard for the feelings and welfare of surviving family members of deceased war heroes, Borger wrote in court documents filed last month. Kyle, considered to be the deadliest sniper in U.S. military history, was killed in February, along with his friend Chad Littlefield, at a Texas gun range. Iraq war veteran Eddie Ray Routh has been charged in their deaths. Olson said in court documents that Kyle's description of the 2006 incident is a complete fabrication and is a vicious, deliberate, and calculated assault on his character, honor, and reputation that is intended to turn the SEAL and military community and Americans in general against him. Olson argued it would be unjust to allow Kyle's estate to continue to profit and noted there is no legal basis for the defense's position. Borger agreed the law permits Ventura's case to go forward, but said the decision is up to U.S. Magistrate Judge Arthur Boylan, who took the arguments under advisement. Borger wrote in his legal brief that Kyle swore under oath his story was true, so there will be no retraction, and there will be no apology coming from the wife. And what's interesting about that case is that, you know, to be fair, and I want to be fair, and I don't like Jesse Ventura at all. I don't think he's smart. I don't think he's, I don't think as a human being he's much of anything. I think he's got an ego that, I think he's a narcissist. And by that I mean, I don't think the guy's without a conscience, but I think that he is so narcissistic that he is more important than everything and everybody else. Now, is his reputation important? Sure. Has his reputation been badly damaged by the fact that this book claims Mr. Kyle punched him in the face? I mean, I don't know, but this is a cat that probably, I'm willing to bet you money that this guy's reputation among the military types, maybe the SEALs, maybe others, ain't all that boogie-woogie to begin with.
Well, why do you say that?
I just, you know, I saw Jesse Ventura on a television program talking to Michael Reagan. You say what you will about Michael Reagan, this got nothing to do with him, but he had just come back from Walter Reed Hospital where he had been talking with injured Iraq veterans, guys that had come back wounded and were in the military hospital recuperating. And Mike Reagan went over there to say hello to them and shake their hands and thank them and cheer them up a little bit. And Ventura, he can't even let that happen without making without slamming Reagan. Without saying the guy's a chicken hawk and this and that and this and that. The guy had just been over talking to the veterans and trying to cheer them up. And this guy, Ventura, is, you know, slamming Reagan and calling him all kinds of things because he's anti-Iraq war. And he was anti the Bush administration and felt that even that small gesture of visiting Iraq veterans had to be an occasion for Jesse Ventura to call people names, along with this dumb woman he was with, excuse me for saying, but...
Excuse me, Phil, that is a lady that I respect immensely.
What's her name?
She's the editor of the Nation, I believe. And her name is Katrina Vanderhoofel, or Vanderfluffen, I don't know.
Well, what's her name? She's a friend of yours.
She's a very dear friend. Her name is Katrina Vanderfluff, or Vanderhoof.
What's your name?
If you ask me that one more time, I'm going to come after you, and Phil won't be able to hold me back this time.
All right, hold on for a minute. Is it The Nation?
Yes, it's one of the most prestigious magazines in the history of this country. It is one of the great liberal magazines. It's called
The Nation.
I think.
And her name is Katrina Vanderhoofel.
I didn't say Katrina. I said her name is Katrina Van.
Bob's Katrina Van Heusen.
Not Van Heusen, no.
Yeah, it's Van Heusen.
That's the name of a shirt. It's Katrina Van Vifan.
We'll find out. So she's a real good friend of yours, huh?
Yes, she. Well, look at this. She's a real good friend of you. Katrina Vanderhoeven, I think, is her name. That's it. Vanderhoeven.
Okay, Katrina.
Vanderfluven.
No, you said Vanderhoeven.
No, I did not. I said Vanderfluven.
I heard you say Vanda. Is it Vanderfluven?
What did I just say?
You said Katrina Fluvenhaf. No.
Oh, you. Why am I asking you? Katrina Hoover.
Katrina Hoover?
I didn't say Hoover, did I?
No, but I'm trying to help you toward.
I'm trying to help you toward the right pronunciation.
Yeah, I don't need any help from you, knuckleheads, that's for sure. Katrina Vanderhoeven.
That's what you said, yes.
Thank you.
All right.
No, you didn't. You said Fluven.
I said what?
You said Katrina Fluven.
Katrina Vanderfluven, but it ain't that either.
I know it's Katrina Hoover. No, Vanderhoeven.
Never mind.
Oh, yeah, right. Sure, never mind. So I've got egg dripping from my face.
I'm afraid so until we get back from the break. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
And look at you looking at your bills, going through your mail like it's no big deal that I've got egg dripping from my chin.
Won't be the first time. Hey!
Phil Hendry. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. General Galen Shaw, retired United States military, joins us to talk a little bit about the Jesse Ventura situation there with Chris Kyle. Chris Kyle's widow, Taya Kyle. The lawsuit being filed by Jesse the Body Ventura and so on and so forth. Now, Ventura is a Navy SEAL, General Shaw. And if I'm not mistaken, and I could very well be mistaken, was Mr. Kyle, he's a sniper. Was he just an Army sniper, or was he a Navy sniper?
Well, the idea that I can barely hear you.
Okay, is that better?
Yes, that's much better. The idea that one member of the United States military would insult or otherwise provoke another member of the United States military into a physical altercation, to me, spells nothing but bad things for both individuals. And were it me, and it wasn't me, but were it me, I would certainly be most put out by the provocateur. Now, this bar fight took place between Mr. Kyle, who I think was a United States Army Ranger, or at least a member of the United States military, the United States Army, should say, and this so-called Mr. Ventura. I don't know whether it really was Jesse Ventura or not, and that this individual apparently assaulted him and made him look like a... not up to snuff. I've seen these things happen between members of the United States Army. I've seen things happen to all branches. And I think what you've got to do is just suck it up and go on about your business and not act like you got your feelings hurt or like you're a little Mary Jane. You know what I mean?
Kind of a sissy?
Well, acting a little bit like a sissy. Now,
what do you make of this claim that the reputation of Jesse Ventura was damaged?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the particulars of the fight. If someone Sunday punches you or clocks you while you're not looking, or I suppose he caught you off guard, and you're going to have to answer in some fashion or form. However, I don't know that that necessarily makes you look like little Mary Jane. I think you got caught unawares. And it just let it go. I told this to this gentleman when I was in the Army, and I was very young. This was in the early 60s, and I had just joined the United States Army out of Fort Hood in Texas. And I'd gotten into an altercation with a member of another branch of the military. He had hit me in a fight. And I said, we'll let it go, but I sought him out at the next time I saw him in the bar, I sought him out, and I said, let's just let bygones be bygones. And he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't let me do that.
Well, did he hit you again?
No. I said, let's let bygones be bygones. I wanted to hit him and make it even. And he wouldn't, he said, if you hit me, I'll hit you back. And I said, you are really a kind of a sissy about it. And I told him, you're being a sissy. And
what made him about a sissy?
Say that again?
Why was he a sissy?
Because he hit me in the previous weekend in the same bar. He hit me and drew blood, fractured a cheekbone, and the orbital bone. And so I went back looking for him, and I said, you need to stand there and let me hit you. And he said, I will not. I'll hit you back. And I said, you're a real sissy. You're almost a sissy boy, as we used to call him in those days, you know.
Well, you wanted this guy to stand there?
To let bygones be bygones. And
well, how is that bygones be bygones?
You allow the injured party to get even, and then you let it go. That's how I learned bygones get to be bygones. I don't know about anybody else.
Well, General Shaw, I don't think talking about a bygone going down to be a bygone. You can't stand there.
Yeah, if a bygone is going to be a bygone, you want it to be the bygone, he's going to fight back.
Oh, let me tell you something. You microcephalics, you don't know what you're talking about.
But what do you mean by that?
Don't worry about it.
All right, well, there's no need to call names.
These two guys that are next best thing to a crash test dummy, both of them together wouldn't make one good crash test dummy. You realize that? And they're telling me how this world is put together? I don't think so.
Well, you're saying that for bygones to be bygones, you went in, you looked for this guy, and you wanted to belt him.
Yes, and I said, let's let bygones be bygones. I don't know how many times I got to say that.
Okay, you've said let bygones be bygones, meaning the guy's got to stand there, and you're going to hit him.
Hold on, Mr. Henry. Just because you're a civilian doesn't mean you're allowed to speak to me in the manner that you are.
All right, I apologize, General. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to raise my voice.
Now, the man was a member of another branch of the military.
Well, what branch of the military was he in?
Well, he was not in the military. He was in a branch of a paramilitary. It was a uniform that we all recognize as an Eagle Scout uniform, but that is technically...
Eagle Scout? Well, that's like the same thing on a Cub Scout.
Hold on. It is a paramilitary branch.
It's not a branch of the U.S. government, of the U.S. Armed Forces.
It is a paramilitary... Hold on for just a minute before you guys start regretting the day you were born. You're going to say something you'll regret for the rest of your lives if you don't know what you're talking about.
Sir, I don't think I'm going to regret anything if I tell you the Eagle Scouts are not armed forces.
I didn't say that they were. I said they were a paramilitary branch of the U.S. government, not of the government. Yes, you're right, but they are a paramilitary branch under the U.S. government and would be used by the U.S. government if we needed them, but we don't.
So you got a fight with the Eagle Scout?
Excuse me, I don't like your tone.
General Shaw, we're just trying to figure out who it was that hit you.
This guy, this member of the branch
of a parallel branch.
You think that the Eagle Scout is a parallel branch?
Well, you can laugh it up all you want, but you're the guy with the plate in your head, not me. This guy hit me flush. He hit me with a roundhouse right. He cracked the orbital bone right underneath my right eye. And the next week, I went looking for him. I told him, I'll be back. And I went back into this place, a place called Daisy's. And this was in Texas, Fort Hood, Texas. And I walked in, and I said, now, let's let bygones be bygones. And he said to me, okay. And he shook stuck it out for me to shake it.
Stuck out what?
His hand, for God, all Jesus.
His hand.
Well, you think? And I said, no. I said, stand there while I go ahead and take a bead on your nose, and I'm going to cave it in. And he said, not likely. And I said, yes, lad. I went ahead and threw the hand, and he grabbed it and basically wrist locked me, pushed it up around behind my back, damn near broke my shoulder. And I said, you are going to be sorry you were ever born, as he kicked me out the door of this bar into the street.
General Shaw, it sounds like you lost two fights.
Hey, isn't that cute? That's very cute, Phil.
It sounds to me like the first fight he belted you and knocked you down, and in the second fight, when you went to throw the punch, he grabbed you again.
That's very funny. It's a good thing you don't know anything. You don't know anything. And that's all I've got to say.
He sounds very broken up by that.
Yeah, well, he...
An Eagle Scout? And he, the guy, you know, wrist locked him and then kicked him into the street. It doesn't get much more humiliating than that. Now, if that's what the, what is the general talking about?
Well, it sounds like he wanted bygones to be bygones.
Yeah, well, bygone is not going to be a bygone.
Can I ask you guys something for a minute? What do you mean a bygone is not going to be a bygone?
He wants a bygone to be a bygone.
It's let bygones be bygones. You understand?
Well, what's the difference?
Oh, come on, Margaret. Hey, let a bygone be a bygone. You guys are hacking it up six ways to sunset.
My only point that I'm trying to make. If he walks in and says, want bygones to be bygones, is that it?
Yeah, that's the way to say it.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Then you got to go up to the man and say, all right, let's let bygones be bygones, and I'm sorry or whatever, and you can't throw no punch.
I agree. I totally agree.
So you do agree that he can't throw a punch?
Yes. What's the big deal?
Well, apparently General Shaw doesn't understand that.
He thinks bygones be bygones means you go ahead and you clock the guy and now you're even. And that ain't it. So,
About a long time ago, we got punched with the orbital bone, huh?
What's that?
The orbital bone is, actually, it's a bone above your eye. You see how the bone comes out here? It protects the eye. The human skull evolved so that the protrusion right here, the forehead and that orbital bone where your eyebrows are, and then the cheekbone underneath, they protrude out enough so that it protects the eye from damage if something is heading toward it. And I took a golf ball.
Where?
Off of my headlight. What do you mean, where?
Well, you said you took a golf ball, naturally.
Well, naturally, they went to the sexual...
Get out of here. The ball bounced off of some cement and hit me, and if I hadn't turned my head, it probably would have done some serious damage to my eye, but it hit me right at the corner of the eye toward the ear, and that's where the bone, the cheekbone and the orbital bone stick out the most, and that golf ball hit me there, and I got a black eye, I can tell you that. I mean, I had a black eye for a couple of weeks, but it never touched my eye at all. It never, there was no injury there, so I was one lucky guy. All right, well, we'll find out in the coming months, years, who knows, in the coming millennium, just exactly the damage that's been done to Jesse the Booty's reputation. All right, the feds are still searching for guess who? Who do you think the feds are looking for? Take a wild guess. It starts with H, it ends with A, and that stands for...
Keemster!
Right. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh.
are listening to the world-famous Bill Henry Show.
Well, what in the hell?
I don't know. It's one of the goofier things I've done in my life, but I bought a share in the Saskatchewan Rough Riders football team.
Well, what is that?
What are you talking about?
It's a Canadian league team.
What?
It's a Canadian football league team, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Is that some kind of a joke, the Rough Rider?
No.
No, it's not a joke.
Well.
No, it ain't. It's not sexual. It's the Rough Riders. I don't know how the hell they got to be called that, but that's what their name is. Anyway, ever since I bought this share, I get, man, I'll tell you. I mean, all I own is one stinking share, and they send me all kinds of stuff, man. They send me, here's a whole... attached the following documents. Notice of annual general meeting. Resolution of the members amending bylaw number 1. Saskatchewan Rough Rider Football Club Incorporated proxy form. Information circular. Shareholders annual report snapshot. 2011-2012 AGM minutes. Self-addressed stamped envelope. And more. We look forward to seeing you at the annual general meeting on June 22nd at Mosaic Stadium, Pilsner Place at 10 a.m. Yeah, right.
Oh, you'll be right there, I'm sure.
Unfortunately, guys, I won't be there, but... thank you for the invitation. And that's from Mr. Roger Branfold, the chairman of the Saskatchewan Rough Rider Football Club. Good Lord.
Well, how much money do they spend sending out all this thing?
I don't know.
Oh, seems kind of weird.
Well, it ain't weird that Green Bay Packers are publicly held.
What does that mean, publicly held?
It means that they're publicly owned.
Well, what's that mean?
You don't know what it means, Margaret.
I know, and yet I don't.
It means that they're publicly owned, that everybody has shares, that the people that own the club have shares in the club. They're regular folks like you, like me, like, you know, whoever, and that's what they do. And they send me these forms, and it's quite extensive. It's very impressive, and I don't know, man. One of these days, I don't know, it was just kind of a kooky thing, because my dad played in this league. I've referenced this a couple times. My father played in the Canadian League back in the 30s, and... it was not even called the Canadian Football League then. What they called football in Canada was rugby football. It was called the Ontario Rugby Football Union. Now,
what? What's that mean?
That's what they called football. But it was the same game that we play here. In fact, there are claims that the Canadian League game was the first... you know, every time I talk about Canada, I get some, you know, malcontent jackball who writes in and says, the Canadians suck. Well, whatever. You know, I'm sorry your life sucks so much that you got to start dumping on Canadians. But anyway.
Well, it does. I think you've got to get it right, Phil. Now, who invented football is not important. All of that is water under the bridge. But if you're sitting there and trying to tell me that the Canadian, well, I don't know.
If I'm sitting here trying to tell you what?
I'm bored with it. Go ahead. Well, yourself. I don't know what you're talking about.
Never mind, okay? It's just this, you know, this little team that I follow. But my dad played in Canadian football, but he played back in the 30s. He played for a couple of teams. And then it was the weirdest thing because... like, in America, you go to college, then you get drafted to play in the pros. My father played in the pros in Canada, and there was interest in him from an American college.
Which one?
The University of Detroit.
Never heard of it.
Well, isn't that... I'm sure... I'm sorry, bud. You haven't... if you haven't heard of it, you, the grand brain of all American higher education, then it must not exist.
Well, what's it called?
University of Detroit.
And that's where your dad was going to go to school.
My father could have gone to school, yeah. My dad never went to college, and something called World War II happened, and that ended all of that. But that's kind of weird. So he's playing for $50 a game or something in Canada, and he got this scout or whoever, some recruiter from this college in the United States, University of Detroit, to ask him if he wanted to come down and play. And
what did he say?
I think he said yes, and then the World War II happened, and there were all kinds of guys enlisting, and that's what he did. So that's the end of that, man. That's the end of that. Speaking of the end of that...
yeah, you all stuck your eye out with the thing.
What do we got here?
Harvey Wireman, just want to come on.
Hey, Harvey, I don't have a lot of time. I'm sorry. I know that you're... how you doing, man?
You know, I'm doing fine, but I got this kid, Dowdery. You know, he comes over occasionally and cleans the pool, and he was over here yesterday talking to me because he helps with the repair of a boat motor. And I said, well, why don't you call Henry? And
I know Jeff Dowder.
Yeah. Hey, Mr. Henry, I heard you talking about the... Don't drop the phone. Sorry. I heard you talking about playing on a Canadian league team.
My dad.
Or yeah, your dad. Or well, then what was the give me the phone. He said he heard the Rough Rider.
Yeah. That was if you're not familiar with it, and maybe you are, Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, I know about Teddy Roosevelt. This is a different. Well, maybe it's the same thing. I don't know.
Tell him what you said to me.
What?
Tell him what you said to me.
What did I say?
About Roosevelt.
Oh yeah. Wasn't Roosevelt from? Didn't he come from somewhere down in America?
Yeah, he came from somewhere down in America. Teddy. Yeah, he's from New York.
Okay, so why would they have a Rough Rider?
Give me the phone. Just go outside and clean that pool screen, will you? Why would Teddy Roosevelt? Why do they have a Rough Rider?
Let me do it.
Clean the pool.
I'm here. I'm supposed to clean the pool for Mr. Worm.
I'll do it. Just clean that. What is that? The basket. Clean it out, will you?
What?
It's got a dead gopher on it. It's got. Hey, Phil. If you got a dead gopher in a pool, you got to get rid of it, right?
Of course.
All right. Do you hear that?
No, because you're.
Get rid of the gopher. I'm trying to get my pool clean. This kid Dowder's over here, and he also fixed the motor on my son-in-law's boat. You understand? Get the pool. Get that dead. I don't care what you do with it. Get that gopher that's dead and get it away from me and everything I know. Because my granddaughter goes out there and plays in that pool. My granddaughter. All right, Phil. So you're saying that this guy here says that a Rough Rider is Teddy Roosevelt, which is exactly, that's what I told him. Now the confusion is.
Here, hold it.
Did you get the gopher?
I got the gopher. Mr. Henry?
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry, God. I got a dead gopher in my pool, and I got a granddaughter that's going to go out and swim in it tomorrow. Do you want her to get bubonic plague?
But, Mr. Wireman,
do you want my granddaughter to get bubonic plague?
No.
Then please get that gopher out of my pool. So, Phil,
I gotta go. It's the end of the hour.
All right, well, I apologize, but this jackass...
Well, that was very interesting.
Yeah, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Back Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt is not swimming in my pool tomorrow, is he?
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico. Bill Henry.
What about it?
Well, everyone knows.
We're back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, New Hour. Same old, same old. Margaret, what's the story?
Well, the comments you made about Kim. Phil made. Hi, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray.
You have to say that every time you talk.
Yes, I do.
Easy, bud.
Now I'm going to start all over again. Hi, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray. Phil Henry was making comments about Kim Kardashian during the break, saying that she looked good, pregnant, and her face filled out nicely, and this and that. And my question was, what do you think you're doing?
Yeah, and my question back to you was, what's wrong with it?
Everyone knows that...
Not supposed to like her.
No, it's not that you're not supposed to like... Excuse me, I'll say what I want to say. Everyone knows that Kim Kardashian... She's rolling fat.
Oh, so let's be insulting, huh?
Now, hold on, Phil. She is the most arrogant woman. She walks around with a butt that sticks out like that and thinks she's hot. Don't you understand that she flies in the face, and let me underline the word the face, of everything that we know as traditional beauty? I think that it needs to be pointed out.
Yeah, but that's what... he wants to be.
I don't care what your opinion is, but if that's what she wants to be, then she needs to know that she walks around with the big rear end and, oh, aren't I beautiful? And she's got people believing that. It is absolute.
What's wrong with it, Margaret, other than the fact that it's goes against what you think is the norm?
No, no. This has got nothing to do with the norm. This is simply, don't you think if you're walking around with a butt that size, you should at least... If you walk around with a butt that size, shouldn't you at least first say, excuse me, I'm about to tell you that I think I'm beautiful, but I should point out what I'm hauling.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But no, I don't understand that.
Don't you understand that...
I'll do it, bud. What don't you understand?
What don't I understand? I mean, why should she have to point out she's got a big ass?
Because she's going around, oh, aren't I beautiful? Yeah, you are. Well, and I'm claiming that with this ass.
Okay, so what if she said that?
It gives people a chance to sort of step back and look at the arrogance of the woman, that's all. And I don't think anyone really sees the arrogance. It creeps up on you. Because she says, oh, hi, I'm Kim Kardashian. Aren't I beautiful? Yes, you are. And then she walks away. She turns. She pivots. Okay, you know what I mean by a pivot?
No, I don't.
Well, she'll rise up on one heel.
Oh, will you knock it off, Margaret, with the wheels and the pivots?
Well, she walks up. Hi, I'm Kim Kardashian. Aren't I beautiful? Yes, you are. She'll pivot on one heel to go get some herbal tea or whatever is being served. And then you see the ass. Then it hits you.
Yeah, you got to recalculate.
You've got to factor that in.
If you haven't factored it in.
So, in other words...
Oh, here goes Daddy. Every time you go, in other words, and you fold your hands in front of you, it's like we're all going to get a lecture.
Yeah, you always do that, Mr. Henry.
Don't.
All right, watch it. So, yes, that's what I'm going to do. In other words, when Kim Kardashian enters the room, and you look at a beautiful woman, and you say, you're very beautiful, and she says... Which she would never say. Oh, aren't I beautiful?
Well, she says it in so many words, Phil. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about.
All right, okay. So she says it in so many words. And everyone agrees. And then she wheels or...
No, I said she pivots.
Yeah, I said pivot.
Oh, excuse me. She pivots.
Don't... Phil, I know what you're doing. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to make me the butt end, if you'll pardon the joke. What are you looking at?
You...
Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
Don't look at her, bud.
You're trying to make me the butt end of this.
I'm trying to tell you that what you're claiming, what you're observing, and what you are trying to institute as some kind of valid viewpoint or observation is that Kim Kardashian walks into a room, says, "Aren't I beautiful?" Everyone agrees. She pivots, excuse me, to go get some herbal tea?
Yes, or whatever they're serving.
Maybe like strained orange juice.
Strained orange juice.
What is this, anyway, that she's at?
Never mind, Phil.
All right. She turns to go get her strained orange juice, and you see her big ass, and now you have to factor that in, and you feel, what, blindsided?
Yes, it's a little bit of a blindside. You've already made your statement.
That she's beautiful, and now you see the big ass.
Yeah, and you didn't factor it in.
And you didn't factor it in.
Thank you and good night.
You're not leaving, are you?
No, but I'm...
You can go to the bathroom.
Margaret, you know, you can't come up with these goofball notions and then expect people to just say, oh, well, and not comment on it. It just ain't where it's at. All right, Jimmy Hoffa and Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, is going to be joining us this hour to talk about Jimmy Hoffa. Where is Jimmy Hoffa? Where has Jimmy Hoffa gone? Where have you gone, Mrs. Hoffa? The FBI investigates a potential burial site for Jimmy Hoffa. Say this for the FBI agents working the Jimmy Hoffa case. They're persistent. More than 35 years after the infamous union leader disappeared near Bloomfield, Michigan, federal authorities continue to search for his remains. The latest excavation will take place in a field near Detroit, reports Fox News. Hoffa, the controversial Teamster leader, who was both lauded and vilified, went missing in 1975. He was 62 at the time. His disappearance is one of the country's longest-standing mysteries. Man, you got to see this for the mafia. You know,
When they disappear you, you stay disappeared.
Yeah, well, I mean, the guy's not going to come back because he's dead.
I'm pretty certain he's dead, yeah.
No, but they don't know.
No, they don't know. You're absolutely right, they don't know. But Jimmy Hoffa, when he went missing, I think was in his 60s. So this guy, we're talking 40 years later. I mean, they have to be over 100, I think. In any event, Hoffa led the powerful Teamsters Union from 1957 to 1971. He was sentenced to prison in 64 for fraud and jury tampering. President Nixon commuted Hoffa's sentence in 1971. As part of the deal, Hoffa agreed, quote, not to engage direct or indirect management of any labor organization until 1980. Many believe Hoffa was killed by organized crime figures in order to stop him from taking back control of the Teamsters. The FBI is acting on a tip from an aging criminal named Tony Zerilli. Earlier this year, Zerilli told WDIV Detroit that Hoffa was buried in the Detroit field, which he said he learned when released from prison in 1975 after Hoffa went missing.
Well, this is some old hood coming up with information that he knew in 1975.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I don't know why these guys keep quiet about things. They keep quiet because of the Omerta thing.
What's that?
That's the agreement to stay quiet when you're in the mafia.
Yeah, can't say nothing, or it's Omerta.
Well, no, you can't say anything. That's Omerta. If you say something, it's muerta.
Muerta is death.
Yeah, bingo. Give the man a cigar.
Well, I don't know if that's... Is that Italian?
Yes, it's Italian. It's Spanish. I don't know what the difference is.
There's a difference between Spanish and Italian.
Okay.
Zerilli was second in command with the Detroit Mafia. He says he was told by a mafia enforcer that Hoffa was abducted at a restaurant in Bloomfield Township and brought to the area on Buell Road in Oakland Township and buried.
They kill him first?
Well, I sure hope so.
Well, it doesn't say. It says that we got abducted.
Well, he was abducted from the restaurant. He was brought to this area and buried. I'm assuming they killed him somewhere on the way. The original plan, according to the aging mobster, was to bury him here temporarily and then take him up to northern Michigan and bury him at a hunting lodge in Rogers City. Time will tell if Zerilli's information proves accurate. In the years past, the FBI has acted on a slew of tips from alleged criminals who claim to have the scoop on Hoffa's fate. Some have said Hoffa was pushed from an airplane over the Great Lakes. Others believe Hoffa was buried in a horse farm. All those leads, including the long-standing rumor that Hoffa was buried under Giant Stadium in New Jersey, never led to any, if you'll pardon the pun, concrete evidence. All right. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is going to join us here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're going to get a little bit of his background on this. And I know, Jay, that you're at, I don't know where you are. We got to take a break. Are we taking a break? Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Then we'll be back with Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. All right, I think we... are you guys going to...
Yeah, going to do the Iron Swine.
I'm sorry. I should have introed it.
No, just go cold.
Okay, we're just going to start cold?
Yeah, but now you carved it. Go ahead.
Oh, take it easy, okay, Shakespeare? Here we go. Hey, hold on for a minute. Bud, what are you moping around for?
It's supposed to come out of the break cold.
Well, we didn't come out of the break cold.
You make pretend like you're doing a commercial.
How do you want me to pretend like I'm doing a commercial?
Pretend like you're doing a beer commercial or something, and then we'll go into it. Please, please. I never ask you for much.
All right, fine. So drink Coors Beer. It's fantastic. I love it, and you will too. Coors Beer. And now back to the Phil Hendry Show.
Time now for Iron Swine.
This episode of Iron Swine's called out to a foreman in Detroit to find out on Jimmy Hoffa.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Hello, Iron Swine.
Yeah, I'm a farmer. I live up in Detroit.
Yeah?
And something smells funny in my field.
I wonder if that's Jimmy Hoffa.
I don't know. I mean, Jimmy Hoffa, man. I'm just telling you, something smells funny.
the toilet flushing okay and the sewage and everything like that?
I don't know.
And Iron Swine and got in his car and drove off to... And Iron Swine got in his car and he drove off to find out what, you know, what was going on, you know, at the thing.
What are you doing, man?
Trying to find it. Yeah. And Iron Swine drove off in his car. See, that's what I was looking for.
Oh. Well, how long will it take you to get there?
I'm still flying over to the farm. Yeah, there's your farm now. I'm going to land it. I'm laying on the farm. There.
Hey, Iron Swine. Something smells funny. Maybe it's Jimmy Hoffa.
Let me take a whiff. Nope, that ain't Hoffa. That's Elvis Presley. Iron Swine never did find Jimmy Hoffa, but they changed the sewer system out there at the farmer's house.
Thanks a lot for the tip on a Roto-Rooter.
You got it. But
that's it?
Yeah, that's it. Then how am I supposed to find Jimmy Hoffa? He never did.
Well, I thought Iron Swine found everybody.
Yeah, that's what I was telling him. We should have had him.
No. You got to make it realistic.
What's that smell? It's Elvis.
Yeah, because on account of nobody knows where he is.
Everybody knows that Elvis is dead. Everyone knows where he's buried. You should have had somebody, some missing person that nobody knows, like,
Don't say Amelia Earhart, because everybody do that.
Okay, I won't say Amelia Earhart. Anyway, well, that's great. So you have that car. Now, is that a flying car?
Yeah.
Is it like the Jetsons car?
Yeah.
He doesn't like you asking too many questions.
I don't know.
Okay, fine. Fine, genius. There you go. Iron Swine, ladies and gentlemen. Wasn't that fantastic? But getting back here to...
Yeah, well, you're being all sarcastic and everything.
No, I mean, it's great stuff. But, you know, let's get back to the real thing here, man. Jimmy Stinkin' Hoffa. And this guy went missing in 75. Did you ever see the movie? The movie Hoffa was pretty good. The movie had Jack Nicholson as Jimmy Hoffa. And Danny DeVito directed the film and played a pivotal character. I forget who. But I think DeVito and Nicholson share the final scene. I think it's the final scene. And then that really good actor, who's the kid? Frank Whaley. There's a young actor who plays the actual assassin. And they theorize. And of course, this is all theory. But their theory in the film is that they stopped at this restaurant, and Hoffa stayed in the car, and his driver, played by Danny DeVito, went into the restaurant. And waited for whoever they were to meet, and that Mr. Hoffa would then get out of the car and go into the restaurant and meet them. And the thinking and the sort of the attitude conveyed was that Jimmy Hoffa at that point, and indeed much of his life, did not feel beholden to anybody. That if there was a meeting between Jimmy Hoffa and anybody, it was that person coming to Hoffa, and he wasn't going to budge an inch, and he was the main man. You know, he did a lot for truckers, he did a lot for the Teamsters Union, and in so doing, he went to bed with the devil a little bit. He, you know, sold out their pension of welfare. There's some things that he did that were not on the up and up at all. But Hoffa came from a time when, you know, you did deals with criminals. You did deals with organizations like the mafia or the underworld in order to help your union, to help your membership gain whatever advantage they needed to. It was a violent time. It was a time when, you know, the companies were hiring goons and guys with axe handles and guys with guns. And so, you know, it was the feeling of some in the union movement that the union had to do the same thing.
Well, you sound all like you're all ashamed of it.
Yes. Are you saying that was bad?
I'm saying it's unfortunate that at any time in the history of this country, things had to move forward basically with a baseball bat and a fist, and that, you know, the normal process that we use, that we hope to use, which is persuasion, did not work. And, you know, that's just the way it was, the way the country came up. But anyway, Hoffa in the film version is shot by a patron in the restaurant as he sits in the car, and then is essentially the body is left in the car. It's rolled up the back ramp of a trailer. All of this while Danny DeVito sitting in the restaurant isn't quite sure what happens. He comes running out as they take off. But they roll this car that Hoffa is shot in into the back of this big truck. And the film ends, and it's a beautiful ending to the movie. The movie ends with this truck rolling down this highway. And, of course, you're looking at the truck symbolizing the nation's freight, the nation's commerce, the nation's business, sailing down this highway. Only this truck has the body of Jimmy Hoffa in it.
What's beautiful about that?
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is that it's ironic that the truck, the very thing that Hoffa sought to liberate, the very thing that he sought to protect, was in fact that thing that carried him to his grave. And of course, people believe that car that Hoffa was in was taken to a scrapyard and essentially just, you know, compacted into a cube.
What? What would happen to Jimmy Hoffa then?
I don't know, bud. Three guesses, man.
What do you think would happen?
Probably get all squished up, man.
I'll say.
Yeah, there you go. That's using the old noodle. He got squished up. So anyway, yeah, the Cadillac went into one of those cubing machines and just zzzzed. Those are pretty fascinating to watch, huh?
Well, they are, so long as you don't have to think about a man's body being in one of them.
Yeah, that is kind of gruesome. But anyway, that's what they think happened to Hoffa.
Then he put it in a giant stadium.
No.
Why not?
What do you mean they put it in giant stadium?
They took the cube. They took the cube.
They're not going to take a cube of metal and drop it into giant stadium.
They did with the cube whatever the hell you do with a cube of metal. I don't know. Would they?
Yeah, why not?
Because they got a guy's body all mashed up in there. I don't know. What do they do with that stuff?
I think they recycle it.
See, that's where they said they thought Jimmy Hoffa is buried somewhere in a parking garage. Like he's part of a... somebody said that he was part of a support for one of the expressways in New York, in Detroit. That he was at Giant... He's part of the construction of Giant Stadium. That he was buried in a parking lot somewhere. You know, all kinds of insane and daft notions about Jimmy Hoffa. That's the end of that, though, man. I would recommend you see that flick. Will they ever find his body? The question is, why are they still looking? And we're going to get Jay Santos on here next half hour. I'm sorry that we didn't get Jay on right away.
Because he's still waiting.
All right, I'm sorry that you're waiting, Jay. Let me... Jay, I'm sorry that you're still waiting. Can you hang through the news?
Well, yeah, I can hang through the news. I was told that I'd come on to talk about Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah, Jimmy Hoffa?
Yes, sir.
Yes, that's what we want you on for.
Oh, okay, that's great. You got a news coming up right now. Are we on the air right now?
We're on the air, I'm sorry.
Oh, all right, Phil. Well, I can come on after news. I'm sitting, just sitting here with my daughter. We're having one of those father, daughter talks about, her school and everything. We're having some Swizzlers.
You mean licorice?
Yeah.
All right.
I've got to take her home, put her in bed and,
Okay, Jay, we'll be right back, okay?
You got it.
All right, so we'll be right back with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to talk about, what does he mean, Swizzlers?
Those are those licorice sticks.
All right, we'll be right back with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police and Jimmy Hoffa, where he could be, where he might be, where he should be, where he sure as hell isn't, on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every show back here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast here on this Monday night. This morning, 9 a.m., huge press release regarding the Phil Henry Show and what we have planned. And I got to tell you something, I mean this sincerely. The fact that our radio show has survived this long is an absolute, it's amazing. It's amazing, given the trials and tribulations of this business, this industry, the fact that our radio show is still on the air and will continue on the air as of the 25th. We're in business, baby. So if you're an affiliate, you're a listener, you're wanting, hey, what's going to happen to your show after, you know, I really shouldn't have said that, you know, everything's, our relationship with TRN is ending on the 24th because it got everybody thinking, well, we're going off the air. We're not going off the air at all. We are remaining on the air. And as I said, there is a press release coming out this morning that will explain all. And I think you will be very, very pleased. All right. 877-876 is our number. 877-876-PHIL is our number. And with me is Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay, I appreciate you being with us. We wanted to talk about, you know, Jimmy Hoffa and the likelihood that this guy is ever going to be found, you know. You have some experience?
Well, we had experience looking for Corey Avenaugh.
What was the guy's name?
Corey Avenaugh.
Corey Avenaugh. Who was he?
Corey Avenaugh was a notorious criminal that lived here in the South Bay area. I'd probably say around 1998, 1999. And it was at that time that he did go missing. He was into loan sharking, some prostitution. He was into a number of things that were, you know, bad and everything, but he went missing, and we began looking for him wherever we knew how, and I didn't know anything about it, but we told police that we would be taking a look around and take a peek over their shoulder, too.
All right. Did the police ask you?
Well, we are Citizens Auxiliary Police, you know, Phil, is a volunteer agency designed to save lives. More than anything else, we're just about saving lives, and we're about taking a peek over the shoulder. Police make sure they're doing a good job. And
yeah, I know. So what does that any of that have to do with finding a guy that's missing?
Well, the guy that was missing was a criminal and had gone missing and was wanted by the police for questioning. And we said to, at that time, we said to the L.A. County Sheriff in the area that we were going to conduct our own investigation to find him, Citizens Auxiliary Police. And at that time, and they did then, at that time, say they had a problem with that. And
what was their problem?
They didn't want us to be involved in anything that was disruptive, as they put it. And I said to him very, you know, candidly, I said...
Who were you talking to?
I was talking to one of the sheriffs. I forget his name. It was Dave Bloonen or Bobby Blue, something like that. I forget.
Bobby Blue.
Yeah, I'll look up and see if there's a Dave Bloon.
Dave Bloon, Bob Bloon, I think, B-L-O, something like that.
Bob Bloon.
Yeah, let me look.
Well, you're saying it like Bob Bloon. What, do you think I'm lying?
Let me tell you something, Jay. These names don't sound real. All right, but if you say you talked to L.A. County Sheriff.
Yeah, I did, Mr. Henry. Okay, I did. And they said, I'm telling you, to be very candid, they said, we'd rather you not muck around and make, you know, we want to find Corey Avenaugh. And I said, let me tell you what, I do too, because if this punk was operating on my turf, I want to know all about it. So we went into a vacant lot. The first place I said to them, let's just look in a vacant lot. And we started digging in a vacant lot, and then we found backyards, wherever the people would let us dig. And also, you know, we'd take a sniff, because as you know, a decomposed body will smell, and we had dogs that could sniff it.
Do you have cadaver dogs with the Citizens Auxiliary Police?
I'm sorry?
Do you have cadaver dogs?
Do we have cadaver? We have a Doberman Pinscher.
No. What I mean by a cadaver dog is a dog that can smell cadavers.
Oh, you mean that can sniff out a dead body? As far as I know, any dog, that's kind of interesting, because any dog you want to talk about, he's going to smell a dead body.
Well, yes, of course. By that measure, so can human beings. But I'm saying, will the dog be able to identify that as something that you want to find?
Well, I don't understand that.
Phil, move on to another question.
Never mind, Jay.
Right.
All right, so what happened?
Well, I mean, we bought this one dog. It was my wife's, actually, my wife's sister's dog. It was a terrier, and all he did was bite you know, he just bit everybody, and he tore a hole in the pants of one of the sub-commanders. Then we got another dog that was a collie, and that, it was not very smart, and it took a it went on everybody. Then we got another dog.
Did you get a dog that knew how to sniff for things?
Well, as I said to you, Mr. Henry, every dog, wow, every dog knows how to sniff for things. Hey, Sub-Commander Gleason's here. Hey, Jerry, Henry wants to know if you get a dog can sniff. He's even laughing at that. Of course a dog gonna sniff, you know?
All right, so what did you find?
Well, I mean, what happened was that's when a sheriff, this guy Bob Blown, comes and says, and I did file a complaint with the sheriff because he come up on us and he says, what are you morons doing? And I said, I'm doing your job, Blown. That's what I'm doing. I'm digging, trying to find Ken Avenant. He says, well, his name's Corey. I said, all right, well, when I find him, I'll ask him his name, ha, ha, ha. And the guy's looking at me like I'm six different versions of Dork. And he says, Corey Avenant is not missing. We know where he is. He just took off. Or no, he didn't say he's not missing. He says he's in Mexico. I say he's in Mexico. He says, yeah. I said, you said he was missing. I said, and Blown says, yeah, he was missing. But we tracked him in Mexico. I said, well, I assume naturally he's dead.
So the guy wasn't dead, buried someplace?
No, and that's what we, when he said, oh, he's missing, we start digging in the guy's backyard.
Well, who told you to go digging in a backyard?
If the guy's missing, what's the first thing you're going to do? We've seen all about Jimmy Hoffa and all the others that it had happened to, too. And if, and I can tell you right now, Mr. Henry, as a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police, you tell me a guy is missing, the first thing I'm going to do is go grab a shovel, and I'll meet you down at the vacant lot. And another thing, we brought out the dogs, as I told you.
Yeah, you brought out five different dogs. Did you ever find one that could sniff a dead body?
No, we did not, but we found one that could sniffed up something that stunk bad.
You found one that sniffed up something that stunk bad.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, if it's not a cadaverin dog or whatever you call it, but it was a dog that could smell something that was smelled bad. We bring the dog in. I got to go through all kinds of humiliation because the thing's sniffing my crotch. And I finally said to Angel Brero, I said, get that thing out of my crotch. Get it out now. And he says, yeah, but boss, it smells something bad. I go, I said, yeah, tell me all about it. Three guesses, the first two don't count.
Okay, is there an end to this story?
Yes, and then the dog sniffed in a pile, and I go, there's where he's buried. And we dug it up, and it wasn't a dead guy, but there was garbage there. Forget it.
Okay, but Jay, do you understand that this whole story finally leads me to a dog sniffing, finds garbage, and that's that? You didn't find a dead body?
That's right, because the L.A. County Sheriff, specifically Bob Blown, L.A. County Sheriff...
Bob Blown.
Yeah, Bob Blown. What, can he have no name?
Sure, he can have a name. It just sounds like a very... So what did he say?
He said that the guy's not missing. He's in Mexico. He's just missing from the neighborhood. So they're down in Mexico right now, and I guess they got help at a federale and also the FBI, and they're going to try to round him up.
All right, well, that sounds to me like the L.A. County Sheriff's doing its job. FBI's doing its job. The federales are doing its job.
This is Auxiliary Police doing its job.
No, it doesn't sound like it to me. I mean, you guys are digging up backyards and vacant lots, and
wait, if the guy said to, I'm gonna say it again, if the guy says to you somebody's missing, aren't you gonna start finding a dog that can sniff it out?
If someone said to me that someone I loved was missing,
no, no one said someone I loved. It's Corey Avenant. No one loved this guy. No one cared.
All right, fine, but I mean, let's just say that there was somebody missing, was like my kid. The first thing I'm not going to do is try to find a dog or whatever to sniff out dead bodies, because I'm going to want to find that kid alive.
Well, you know what, Mr. Henry? There's the way that we want it, and there's the way that it is. Okay? And I think, you get that one?
There's the way we want it, the way that it is.
That's right. So, you know, I can't guarantee you, if your kid goes missing, that we're not going to go find a dog that can sniff it out.
You didn't find any dog that could sniff it out. You didn't find a dog that could sniff anything. You found a dog that could smell something rotten, and the first thing it did was start sniffing your crotch.
All right, that's uncalled for. And
you're the one that told me.
I might have told you, but the point was the dog was able to sniff out the pile of garbage.
Yeah, the dog sniffed out a pile of garbage. There wasn't a human being there. So you guys wasted all kinds of time. That's my point. And this guy, Avanaz, is now being tracked in Mexico by the federales and the FBI. He wasn't dead, and he wasn't buried in a vacant lot.
So your whole point is to make me and every member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police look like a worthless redundancy, look
No, that's not the point.
Yeah. Yes, it is. To make us look like worthless redundancies in a mindless, cold world of just, you know, just devastation and everything.
Okay, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, Jay, I thank you very much.
Sure.
I do. I thank you very much for enlightening us on the case of Corey Avanaz. At least we know that the law enforcement is on this. And you guys were trying to find. Thank you very much, Jay.
Well, he's a little put out, Phil, I think, by the way you treated him.
I didn't treat him bad. How did I treat him bad? I was asking him questions. He says he's got a dog that can... I said, I didn't know you have a cadaver dog. And he says, yeah, and he thinks I'm talking about a breed.
Well, yeah, when you said cadaver dog, he thought you meant like a German Shepherd.
Well, no, I wasn't. Any cop knows that a cadaver dog, what a cadaver dog is. These are dogs that can smell dead bodies. He brings in some dog, I don't know what kind. What kind was it?
It was a terrier.
A terrier could smell something.
See, that's where he got upset.
Well, I'm sorry. A terrier could smell something rotten, and the first thing it did was sniff Jay's crotch. Then it found a pile of garbage in the bacon. All right, sports fans, thank you very much. We'll be right back. Final segment here, the world-famous, never-ending, ever-after Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I don't want to talk out of school because I don't know anything about it, but these electronic cigarettes.
Yes, I saw this new ad here for, it looks very interesting.
Well, now let's just slow down, okay?
No, it's not Stephen Dorff. It's not that one.
Yeah, Stephen Dorff was doing a different one.
Not Stephen Dork, Stephen Dorff, who happens to be one of the finest actors that I've ever seen. He's a great actor. And the fact that he's doing these commercials, either they're paying him a bundle of, well, I don't know, you know.
Well, Stephen Dorff is one of those actors that has been in a great many indie films. He's very much a man that I think he demands quality in all that he does.
That's great, okay.
Well, what's with the that's great?
Okay, Margaret, I got you.
But I'm glad they got him to do the commercial because I think he looks great. And as far as these cigarettes go, Dan Northcraft says that it's a very light tobacco scent, so it's not very offensive, but I think they're still very injurious.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. I mean, I don't even know that I would go back to smoking if they developed a cigarette that was good for... Well, if it was good for you, I suppose I'd try it, but this, I don't want to go near it because it's going to be... It's still bad, right?
Yeah, it's still got tobacco and, I mean, not tobacco, but what's it got?
Nicotine.
What?
Nicotine.
You can't say the...
Didn't say the N-word, nicotine.
What sounded like he said...
Never mind.
It's called nicotine, you idiot.
Yes, nicotine. I believe it still has nicotine. I think it still has a great many other very injurious things in it, so yeah.
All right, so you don't want to start smoking, even if they're electric cigarettes. I'm sorry, but now this is very interesting because, as you may or may not know, you probably know just because you've never seen a cigarette advertising on television. There is no cigarette advertising on television. There hasn't been for some 40-plus years. It's been a long time since, and I can still remember as a kid seeing the cigarette commercials on TV for Cool and Marlboro Country and all this stuff. These are on TV. These are on TV. Now, why do you suppose?
Well, I don't know. It's a very interesting question. Somebody somewhere is...
I'll tell you why, because someone somewhere is gobbing the cone.
Oh, would you watch your language?
I don't have to be around here for that.
You watch your language.
Sorry. Can't say that, ma'am.
So, in other words, you're saying someone's giving someone sexual favors?
Hold on. I don't think any of that's happening. I'm sure that there is some kind of a clause or some, you know, loophole that allows them to advertise on television. Because if they are tobacco-based or tobacco or nicotine-based cigarettes, then they're going to be, you know, injurious, and the same thing is going to happen. You're going to be, pushing a product that is probably going to hurt kids. I don't know. Good luck, man. Blake Griffin could be headed to the Los Angeles Lakers in what would be a blockbuster deal that all hinges on Dwight Howard. The Clippers are reportedly interested. Get a load of this. Even if you're not in the city of Los Angeles as an NBA or professional basketball fan, you might find this interesting. The Clippers are reportedly interested in trading for Howard, giving up Blake Griffin and guard Eric Bledsoe. But there seems to be disagreement from sources on how serious the teams are and whether Dwight Howard would sign off. The deal would likely be a sign-and-trade for Howard, meaning the Lakers would be able to reach a contract deal that's more attractive than what other suitors can offer. Both the Houston Rockets and Dallas Mavericks are reportedly interested in Howard and have devised schemes to dump payroll in order to acquire him. Despite a strong roster that included Griffin and Paul and a team that had a 17-game winning streak, the Clippers fizzled in the playoffs, losing in the first round of the Memphis Grizzlies. With a season that wasted their first-ever Pacific Division crown, the Clippers could be looking to shift some pieces. There's also questions of whether the Blake Griffin to Lakers trade would make sense for Los Angeles. They would be giving up quite a bit on the defensive end by losing Howard and would be letting him go to one of their Pacific Division rivals. Boy, there's a good point.
No, I'll give him to a rival.
I don't know. I mean, that's kind of one of the unwritten rules of trades. Do you ever trade to a division rival? And the answer generally comes back, nine. However, are you going to give up? Why wouldn't you if it means you're going to get something that you really need? The trade would also depend on whether the Clippers swing what would be a mega deal with the Boston Celtics.
They're not the Celtics.
I know, I just said that. The Clippers are interested in acquiring Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and coach Doc Rivers, but the Celtics reportedly want Bledsoe in return.
Celtics?
No, Celtics. The Clippers seem inclined to keep Bledsoe first as an insurance policy until Chris Paul signs a long-term deal, but also as future trade bait himself. If the Celtics deal goes through, that may be the end of the Blake Griffin trade as well. If Griffin does go to the Lakers, it could be monumental for both teams. The Clippers would have a potent combination in Chris Paul and Dwight Howard, while Kobe Bryant would have another piece of the late career championship he so bloody well covets. Now, giving up that center, though, man. Well, so there it is.
Now, you didn't follow the Lakers this year, did you?
I didn't follow the Lakers because they sucked. I only follow... My teams are the Lakers and the Dodgers. Those are the two teams that I would say are my clubs. Now, I have a lot of teams. I like teams from outside of the market. Football, I tend to be a Jets fan. I like the 49ers last year. And that's heresy for an L.A. football fan, but I like the 49ers last year. I tend to enjoy the Dolphins. But they all got to win. If they suck, I ain't going to follow them. That's just all there is to it. They understand. You understand. We all understand, you know.
Well, you're like a Fairweather fan.
Yeah, sure. I'm a Fairweather fan. I just don't follow sports that closely anymore. If I had season seats like I used to for any of the clubs, and maybe I ought to do that. Maybe I ought to invest in some kind of season ticket. What do you think I ought to get?
You ought to get like a hockey, L.A. King.
Kings. Jesus, that's expensive, man.
Well, what about football?
There is no football.
No, I mean like you had the USC Trojans, didn't you?
Oh, to hell with that. I love that. Yeah, great. Trojans forever. I don't like college ball, man. I want to watch the pros go at it, okay? That's where it's at. That's the name of the game.
What do you mean?
The name of the game is professional sports. Pro. Where a guy's earning his living, where he's feeding his children, where he's feeding his big fat wife, where he's feeding his big fat ass. That's the name of the ball game. The rest of it is minor league stuff. Don't want it. Don't go near it. Don't need it. Maybe it's fun to take the kids to. Maybe it's fun to go and watch on a particular day when you got nothing better to do. The pro game is the game. I don't give a damn what anybody says. That's my game.
That's because you're a professional.
That's right. I'm Phil Hendry. Thank you very much for listening. Our show is produced by me, Phil Hendry, and Dan Northcraft. We'll see you tonight at 10 for another edition of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And remember, until tonight at 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock on the East Coast, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.